Michael, it's come out of left field, this one, hasn't it? Yeah. When we spoke previously, this wasn't on the agenda. Where's it come from, Bellevue?
It wasn't, you know, in fairness to probably the council, I guess, that, you know, this is something that they threw on the table on Monday. I think what they presented to me on Monday asked a lot of questions of our business and how we saw it succeeding in the future under this proposal. There's been a bit of heated exchange since then because we felt that there were some parts of it that perhaps didn't fit the club and we felt could be better. But we have agreed, you know, that over the next 6 weeks the parties will sit down and thrash out that detail, and I'm pretty sure that we can get to an agreement that suits all parties, and that's the aim. But we need it done sooner rather than later. We've put 6 weeks deadline on it. If it all gets sorted in the next 2 or 3 weeks, fantastic, you know. But we just feel that we need to put some deadline on it because we don't want it dragging on. But it also gives us the, I think, 95% certainty that we will be here next year, which I think everybody was hoping would be the outcome. And it also gives us the light at the end of the tunnel that the brand new stadium is on its way.
What will the stadium, what will it look like? What will it consist of? That's the first thing the fans will want to know. How big is it?
Yeah, well, it's 10,000 capacity. I think the plan is at the moment that there'll be 2,700 seats and 7,300 standing. I have explained to the architect that, as with anything in Super League or Rugby League, milestones and markers often change. And at the minute, 2,500 is the minimum requirement for seats. But if that changes in the future, can we be flexible to put more seats in? Or, you know, and they seem to think that would be not an extravagant cost to do that. So 10,000 seater, you know, state of the art floodlights. You know, it's a brand new ground, so it will be a very modern stadium, but still built on the old site. So I think we'll be able to retain a lot of the heritage that we've got, and I'm pretty sure somewhere within the stadium, you know, we'll have photos and pictures of past and present stars of Wakefield Trinity.
And who is going to own the ground then? Are you going to be tenants here? How's the logistics of that going to work?
I think the planners explained to me this morning, and forgive me if I don't get this technically correct, but the plan is that the council are going to buy the lease of the ground. They will then raise some monies on that to front fund the stadium. As and when monies from the new market development flow back to the council to pay that debt off, the minute that becomes kind of cost neutral to them, they will transfer the ownership of the ground to the stadium trust. They will then have it forever and a day. You know, nobody can go along and sell it from underneath the club's nose. So that will be the plan. We will be anchor tenants of the facility. We will have primacy of tenure so that our fixtures come first. And we just need to make sure that not only do we protect our current revenue streams, which are vital to the club on a match day, the food and the drink, but that we can raise further revenues on a non-match day, because that is absolutely crucial to any rugby league business plan, that you can't just survive on 14 days a year. You need something coming in on the days when, you know, there's nothing happening here. So that will come out in the detail, but you know, that is where we're sat, and I think that viewpoint was taken on board by the other parties this morning, and they want to work to make this work in its entirety, because it's good for them, it's obviously good for us, and a whole area like Bellevue, Agbrig gets a brand new development, which you know, looks pretty impressive.
Have you been asked to give any commitment from a club point of view?
Just about the anchor tenant role, I guess, you know, because with the best will in the world, any sort of local football club or other sporting organisation doesn't have the number of fans that we currently have. So they obviously want us to be anchor tenants, otherwise it becomes a bit of a white elephant. But other than that, you know, the commitment we need from them is what does it do to our business? You know, can we make the turnover of our business raised by £500,000, £1 million? You know, the ultimate aim has always been for me, spend the salary cap. We've got to get the revenues up to be able to spend the salary cap, because then we can truly compete. And, you know, I think we've done that this year, but at the same time, if we'd hit an injury glut like, say, Wigan did early on in the season, we'd have been in trouble, you know. And we've had our fair share of injuries, but we've managed to cope with them. But we need to be spending that salary cap, because we need to be on a level playing field with everybody else. So that, as always, has been my aim for Wakefield Trinity. It's not about personal gratification or monetary value. It's about making sure that this club not only survives in Super League, but can win something. You know, we all want to win something. And it might be pie in the sky and we've not won anything for 50 years. But if you don't want to win something, why are you in it to start with? But to win something, we've got to be competing on the same pitch.
We'll come back to that in a minute. The fans will want to know, when's the first spade going in the ground? When's the work going
to
start?
Well, I'm led to believe, you know, the timeline for this is end of next season, you know, and perhaps there's a conversation to have with Super League that can we kind of front load our last batch of fixtures so that we play the end batch of fixtures away from home, and then kind of spade get in the ground in kind of early September of next year. That's my hope. From what I've heard this morning, there's nothing that would suggest that we can't do that. They're looking at an 18-month build for the stadium. So, you know, with the best will in the world, I guess, 2020. Opening the doors, first game of the season down here, me as captain running out first. Happy days.
Where will you go in 2019?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I've not thought that far ahead. I think the two primary objectives for us were, you know, can we get this community stadium built, was number one, and then B, where we're going to be playing in 2018. And I think we've resolved that issue this morning, if everything goes well in the next 6 weeks. So, yeah, some thought has to be put into 2019. It may be that these guys that know more about it than me come and say, well, actually, you don't need to leave. We can build around you. I don't know. You know, that's one for probably 6 months down the line, I guess. But, you know, the immediate future hopefully has been secured, and the long-term future has been secured. It's just that medium bit when it's getting built.
Community Stadium, they've got one of those at Widnes. They've got an artificial pitch to allow more people to use it. Is that something you're going to have to consider?
No, we're not. We're not. This will be a grass pitch. Hopefully one of these all-singing, again, I'm not a specialist in this, an all-singing, all-dancing Deso pitch that can withstand multiple uses. There are other plans going on regarding training facilities, which hopefully will come to fruition in the city as well, and provide further community facilities. And we will obviously want to enjoy those as well. So, no, this will be a grass pitch, and hopefully we'll be one of the best pitches in the league, because finally I'll be able to say to our groundsmen, you might get a bit of irrigation and what have you. So, you know, instead of us having to take my garden hose and sprinkle it.
There's a lot of work gone in here off the field to get things right, and you've spoken all the time about wanting to spend the salary cap. Is this going to mean you will be able to do that from day one, or how's that going
to... I think, again, it's back to revenue streams. I mean, ideally, I think if you look at any study in the country, you know, there's always been an uplift when you start a new facility. So if, for example, you looked at an increase of 20% in your fan base on a regular basis, you know, potentially, and again, these figures are off the top of my head, but you're potentially looking at maybe it's another 120-130k for you know, an extra 1,000 or 1,500 fans. So that would obviously go into the pot. Does it bring new sponsors to the table with a new facility? Are you able to sell your boxes for more because it's brand new? You know, there's all those sorts of things to throw into the mix. We've said from day one that we'd need something that generates non-match day revenue. Well, again, that would go back into the salary cap mix as well. So I see no reason at 2020, if that is the date that we move in, why we can't be spending at salary cap at that point. I'm pretty sure Chezzy and John want me to spend before then, but as ever, we spend what we earn. So, you know, I think what we've got in place right here, right now, is a feasible sort of 2 years plan that shows how we can progress. I think that we've already made strides to strengthen and get better quality in for next year. We from 2020, I guess we will be looking to make extra steps on that. But You know, the plan has always been spend the salary cap, get to the point where you're spending the salary cap.
You've got your key players signed up on long-term contracts. That's another big step forward. You've added to your squad this week. Justin Horro comes in. Tell us about him and what you're expecting from him.
Really pleased with Justin because when he became available, obviously with Dean Hadley going back to Hull next year, which will be a massive loss for us. I mean, I've tried to tempt Adam and he's just not having any of it, that Dean's going to be a Hull player next year. So it left us a little bit light in the second row, obviously, you know, Tash has been fantastic this year and I think it's played every game bar one. But can you expect a rugby league player to do that? You know, it's very difficult. Kermo has been absolutely fantastic for this club, but might have to just pick and choose his games next year because he'll be a year older. So he just brings some genuine competition in. Young batches coming through, but will we, again, at 19, 20 years old, are you going to get 25 games out of him? Very, very difficult. So it just seemed a really good fit for us. And when Chezzy spoke to him, the abiding comment that I've got from him, he wants to be competitive. And that's where we saw where we were at. So I thought that you know, he undoubtedly could have got more money from elsewhere. I think Manly were interested in taking him back home, but he wanted to be in a competitive side. So that spoke volumes to me straight away. So really delighted with that. And I think, you know, looking at the squad now, we're really only looking for another prop for next year. And, you know, we're launching our season tickets today. The sooner, the quicker, the better that more and more people get on board with us and see it not as a season ticket, but for me, their contribution to running a successful club. You know, for your £250, if you get to see 8 games, 9 games, 10 games or 14 games, don't look at it that way. Look at it as your little personal contribution to getting this club up into the top four. And that's what I want to try and spread the message to people. So I'm targeting 3,000 season ticket sales. Doesn't sound a lot to other clubs, I get that. But from where we've been, it would be an absolutely massive step in the right direction. And the sooner we could get there, the sooner we could go out and buy, or not buy, but certainly, you know, secure an absolute top quality prop, out and out prop that will enhance and give more quality to the squad we've already got in place. And, you know, even if we didn't get one, I still think we've got a really, really good squad for next year and it's improved. But this would just absolutely be the cherry on top of the cake.
I remember speaking to you before the £1 million game. Did you envisage that day when, you know, the future of the club was in doubt?
Yeah.
You know, so near after that you'd be where you are now. You've really challenged, you might still do it, the top four, but you've really challenged it this year.
Well, you've got a better memory than I have of that day, if it was on that day, because it's all a bit fuzzy to me. To be involved in the last week of the season, still able to get in the top four, I think just speaks volumes for the work that, you know, I say John and Chezzy, but it literally is everybody in this club, whether they're on field, off field. It's just a massive effort to raise from what would have been doom and despair to be in a chance of the top four. And, you know, I've got some sympathy from Bradford from that day, but you just look at how the two clubs sort of parted from that day. And Bradford have just had a nightmare for the last 2 years. And, you know, you genuinely feel sorry for the fans that turned up that day because they came in massive numbers and could quite easily have been celebrating a return to Super League. So I think, again, you know, I've mentioned sliding doors in the past. It's funny how things can happen in life. You know, we've got a massive chance of becoming, you know, maybe even, you know, not top four, but top six, regular being involved in that chase for the top four. And I'm fully expecting tomorrow night to get about 6 minutes of joy, and then Saints will run away with two fantastic tries out of the top draw, and it'll be all over and done with. But even if it is, what a fantastic year we've had. We've played some great rugby league. I think we've really brought a buzz back, not only to our own fans, but what got it for me last week was the reaction I got off Hull FC fans, that you came to play, you weren't in the niggle, you weren't trying to con penalties, you weren't trying to do this, that and the other. You came to play rugby league, and I think that's how John and Chezzy have got this team playing. And I think we're entertaining for anybody that comes and watches us, you know, any neutral. I've had loads of feedback that we're good to watch. And if we can do that and win something, great. If we can do that and not win anything, but entertain people, I think it's a fantastic achievement.
And just last one then, what's your message to the people? Because there will be sceptics out there, I've heard all this before, but what is your message to them? What can they expect to happen now?
Well, I think for the sceptics, you know, we were willing to walk away this morning from this entire deal. So I think it's won us over to a certain extent. There are obviously questions that still need to be asked, but for our own fans out there, you know, there is future now. There is this brand new community facility that is going to get built, and I have no reason to doubt Peter Boxes, the Denise Jeffries, the Manny Husseins, the Adrian Brooks of this world. They seem determined to get this facility built. So I think there is genuine hope there for everybody. And what we need to do in the meantime before it's built is we need to increase, you know, we need to get the fans back down, we need to get the season ticket sales, we need to get the merchandise has been fantastic this year, and sales have gone through the roof, but we need to improve. There's everything that we need to improve on, because everything that we improve on in that area goes back into the first team. So it's again back to this vicious circle. The more we earn, the more we can spend. But for me, you know, there is genuine hope out there now for this facility. We've got a big 6 weeks in front of us, but if we can nail that, sky's the limit for me.